My name is Don Cush. I'm from Indianapolis. Amen. Actually, from the New Jerusalem. From the same place you are. Jerusalem is our mother. Amen. So we are on morning session number one, message number three, page 29. To put this into context, I'd like to just backtrack a little bit to the first two messages, but not dwell on anything there. The triune God created a tripartite man so that man could be a living vessel to contain him and express him. Now, this vessel is actually a corporate vessel, but it's composed of all of us little vessels. And when we receive the Lord, He comes in and regenerates us, and we become a part of that great corporate vessel, which is the body of Christ, and which is the church. So we need to know how to have a proper Christian life and how to have a proper church life. You could say how to have a proper God-expressing vessel life, right? And I appreciate this training because it's not just inspiring us and giving us revelation and vision, but it's also helping us practically to be what the Lord wants, what satisfies His heart. So, in order for us to be a proper member of the body of Christ, we need to exercise our spirit. But to be able to exercise our spirit, we need to know our spirit. We need to be able to identify our spirit. You know, our spirit is contained within our soul. let's see, where is my outline for message three? All right. It's the one with all the marks on it. There we go. Let's read Roman numeral 1. If we are going to know our human spirit, we must see the difference between the spirit and the soul. And the reference here is 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Those of us that know it, let's recite it, okay? Amen. Peace Himself sanctify you wholly, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a very crucial verse because it identifies the three parts of our being, spirit and soul and body. So the composition of this verse makes it clear there, these are definitely three different parts of our being. So, let's read point A. The spirit as our inmost part
is the inner organ possessing God consciousness, that we make contact God with God, feel with God, and sense
okay, and read point B as well. The
soul, mind, emotion, and will is our very self, a medium between our spirit and our body, possessing self-consciousness, that we may have our personality. The soul is the vessel that contains the spirit.
So our spirit is our inmost part, and it possesses God consciousness. Our soul contains our spirit and it possesses self-consciousness. So, because our spirit is contained within our soul, it's very difficult to know our spirit. It's not that easy. But it helps to call on the Lord.
Amen.
The more we call on the Lord, the stronger our spirit becomes. Calling on the Lord is an exercise of our spirit. And the more you exercise it, the stronger it becomes. So when you are doing physical exercise and you're exercising a part of your body that you're not accustomed to exercising, when you're done, you feel it, right? Maybe not right away, but the next day you feel it, right? So the more we exercise our spirit, the more we become aware of our spirit. I like the expressions that are used here in this capital letter A. Possessing God consciousness that we may contact God, deal with God, and sense the things of God. These three items, contact God, deal with God, and sense the things of God, are pointing to the three functions of our spirit. To contact God, what would you say that is? Fellowship. To deal with God, what function would you say that is? Conscience. And then to sense the things of God, what would that be? Intuition. That's right. So, when we exercise our spirit, we can fellowship with Him. As we contact Him, we're actually fellowshipping with Him. And when we're dealing with God, we are touching the matter of our conscience. Okay? And then He will sometimes give us a sense about a certain matter that we are considering or something that we have done in the past. A word may come to us and we'll just have a certain sense about that. The soul, the mind, emotion, will is our self-consciousness. So when you are in a situation, are you aware of God or are you aware of yourself? What is your consideration? Are you wondering, what is he or she thinking about me? How do I look? Or how do I sound? Or, all of this is self-consciousness, right? That is not in the realm of the spirit. That is in the realm of the soul. But the spirit is contained within the soul. And it's deeper. Okay, so let's go to Roman numeral 2. Let's read this together. Okay. There's a verse in Jeremiah. It says, it's Jeremiah 17:9. It says that the heart is deceitful above all things and incurable. Who can know it? So the heart is actually the soul, all the parts of the soul, plus the conscience of our spirit. And Jeremiah said that this heart is incurable. Right? It's deceitful above all things and incurable. Who can know it? Well, praise the Lord. We have Hebrews 4:12. If somebody has a Bible, please open to Hebrews 4:12 and read that to us. Right. Amen. So the Word of God can discern our soul, right? It can divide the soul from the spirit. And we can distinguish what is the difference between our spirit and the soul when we fellowship with the Lord. Point B, let's read this together.
If we are with the Lord and in His Word, the Holy Spirit will divide our soul from our spirit by the Word.
Mm-hmm. If we are with the Lord and in His Word, The Holy Spirit will divide our soul from our spirit by the Word. So, to be with the Lord and in His Word is definitely to be with an open Bible before His face. But it's also to be with the words of the ministry that we use. And I would just like to give you an example. This is something that is helpful to us, and I believe it's something that can divide our soul from our spirit. Okay, it says, if we mean business to have the church life, we must give up the age. Since the present age opposes the church life, we cannot follow the age and be fashioned according to it and still truly experience the body life. Now, the church life is the body life. It's the living of the body of Christ. This is a life that expresses God, okay? This is a life that is bright. Like we were fellowshipping the other day, bright. We need garments that are bright and clean, right? Well, the church life, the proper church life, is a garment that we put on that is bright and clean, okay? So if we mean business to have the church life, we must give up the age. Since the present age opposes the church life, we cannot follow the age and be fashioned according to it and still truly experience the body life. A person who is possessed by the modern age may attend Sunday meetings, but he cannot practice the church life. If we want the body life, the practice of the church life, we must not follow this age or be conformed to it. This is the reason that Paul told us in Romans 12:2 to not be conformed to this age. The mind is renewed not by outward teachings, but by the element of Christ being added to it. When the Lord Jesus spreads himself from our spirit into our mind will be renewed. So, okay, we may read Romans 12:2 that says, do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. And the Lord would touch us. Something about the age. There might develop a conversation in our being. Lord, what is the age? What is Paul talking about here? He is encouraging us to present our bodies a living sacrifice. And then he says, and do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. Lord, what is it to be conformed to this age? And the Lord may point out certain things, certain activities, certain ways of thinking, certain attitudes, and so forth. Okay, let us read point C. Every time
we read the Word in the Bible, in a
living way,
always exposes and discerns our inner situation so that we know whether we are in the soul or in the spirit.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Every time we read the Word in the Bible in a living way, the Word will always expose and discern our inner situation so that we will know whether we are in the soul or in the spirit. Actually, saints, you know, this is part of preparing for the Lord's return.
Amen.
It's not just an isolated matter of knowing our spirit, dealing with the spirit and exercising the spirit. This has very much to do with our being ready for the Lord's return. The more that we know the Spirit, we know the difference between the Spirit, and we live in the Spirit, the more we are living in the church life. We are living the practical body life, and we are preparing the bride of Christ. So, praise the Lord. Brother Jefferson will continue.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah for the discerning the spirit from the soul. You know, yesterday our fellowship was on dealing with the inward parts, and specifically our conscience. And I think that's pretty obvious. You know, you punch your brother, you got angry, there's jealousy, you lost your temper, you went to the bar, you saw something you shouldn't see. Your conscience should bother you, right? And obviously, when we let these kind of things pile up, we will totally lose the Lord's presence until we begin to deal with our conscience by confessing our sins. That's very, very crucial, okay? However, this morning, the matter of the discerning between the soul and the spirit goes into another level. It may not be something evil, but it's something of who you are, right? So let's all read Roman 3. Amen. So there's two kinds of persons, and I'm actually quite burdened about this point. What kind of person are we? Right? A says, a soulish man is a natural man, one living in his soul and not in his spirit. And there's a footnote here in 1 Corinthians concerning a soulish man. You know, Paul says that a soulish man cannot receive the things of the spirit, because it's foolishness to him. So what is a soulish man? A soulish man is a natural man, one who allows his soul, including the mind, the emotion, and the will, to dominate his entire being, and who lives by his soul, ignoring his spirit, not using his spirit, and even behaving as if he did not have a spirit. That's a soulish man. And, you know, it sounds so, you know. No, we're not like that. Well, be careful. Don't be so quick, you know. Right? We have the famous three circles. And the soul... Here's the soul, the mind, emotion, and the will. Let's not forget the spirit. A soulish man, I was struck by that word, dominated. Your whole, you know, to bring the Lord back, we need to have a living that is bright and clean. But if we're honest with ourselves, how is our living? Is it dominated by our mind, our emotion, our will? Right? Many times we just do things because my mind is filled with it. These are my thoughts, my dreams, my motives, right? My expectation, whatever that is. And, you know, many times emotion. I just love this. And we're stirred up. So, and then our will decides. Okay, that's what we're going to do. So the soul, now we're not saying that you should just forget about your soul and just be a spirit zombie, you know. No, the Lord needs... The Lord needs the faculties of your soul. Without a proper mind, a renewed mind, how can we understand the Word of God? How can we see the high peak of the divine revelation? No way. Right? So we need a good mind, but also a renewed mind. We need an emotion to love the Lord and also to hate the enemy and to hate what the Lord hates. We need emotion. And in a will, you know, the Lord says when he was going to Jerusalem, he set his face as a flint, like an arrow, like nothing will change you. So we need the faculties of our mind, emotion, and will. However, we have to be careful behind the person behind the soul. Okay? B, a spiritual man is one who has been delivered from his self, who exercises his spirit in which the Lord dwells, and who denies his mind, emotion, and will, and submits them to his spirit. Praise the Lord. You know, yesterday we also talked about the matter of having companions, twos and threes, you know. Let me tell you what is the biggest frustration to that. If we live in our soul, you will never have true companionship. It's just a fact. You know, the soul, you can talk about, you know, we have dispositions. Some of us are fast, some are slow. Some are very organized and scheduled, and some are just, everything's free, right? Let's follow the flow, you know. Some are very, you know, detail-oriented. Some are more see the big picture. You know, we all have a different soul, okay? So, if you are one who is very quick, very, you know, making a decision all the time, and then your roommate is somebody who's so slow, you know, his favorite verse is, let's wait on Jehovah. Right? Don't laugh. The church life could be like this. One brother is as, go, therefore. And the other is, let's wait on Jehovah. Eventually, these two, hard to be companions. Right? Because one lives in his disposition, his person of being quick, being decisive, being this and that. Right? And the other remains in just, let's wait. Relax. Let's seek the Lord more. Lord, do you want us to preach the gospel? But to that person, you know, the word is very clear. Preach the gospel. Speak the word. In season or out of season. Right? But then the person who's always on the go, the Lord may speak to him, say, you know, in the book of Acts, it says the door was open to Paul. But you know what? He did not have the peace in his spirit. So you see my point? It's not that one is right over the other. Actually, both, if we are not careful, is still in the realm of the soul. So what kind of person are you? Are you dominated by the soul? Or are we those who deny the soul to touch the spirit, to find out how the spirit is leading within you? May the Lord cover me. In this kind of speaking, I just feel we it's very practical, very crucial. So maybe I just share a little bit of my testimony. How many here are in engineering? Right? How many here are juniors? Okay. I was in engineering, and I was my junior year. You know, I love the Lord, pursued this with the saints. And I'm thinking, my junior year, about to get to my senior year, and, you know, I probably should get some internships experience, or, you know, I'm in computer science, you're doing all kind of technology and things like that, and I'm just thinking, well, maybe I probably should try an internship or something this summer, or else I have nothing. I worked in a computer lab fixing jammed printers, you know, that's about it. Helping people check their email. That's probably not going to... Probably not going to land me a decent job, right? So I considered it, and eventually I said, okay, I'm going to, so, you know, got my suit and tie and learning how to interview, and then I sent out some resumes, and then eventually three companies, AT&T, and then, you know, this a gas company, and then an IT company. Two of them wanted second interviews. And then AT&T just called me one day and said, when can you start? Oh, okay. Well, he put me on the spot. He said, when can you start? And usually my practice during the summers is, you know, go live, be in the hearing, the speaking. So go to Anaheim for the summer training. And then summer college training, praise the Lord. And then serve with the young people, summer school of truth. That's what I poured out my being to. And those are very good. But I was at a dilemma. The guy put me right on the spot. When can you start? And eventually I mumbled, okay, I can start a certain day. No fellowship with the Lord, just, you know. And after that, I told my mom, and my mom was like, oh, very good, very good. You know. But eventually, the more I began to pray, spend time with the Lord, there was no rest in my spirit. It all makes sense. And eventually, you know what I tried to do? Even I spent time with the Lord, and I'm like, Lord, you know, if I get an internship, AT&T, there's people I can preach the gospel to there. Yeah, you know, they'll pay me, so I can even offer more to the church, you know. There's all kind of reasoning coming in to justify. But whatever the reasoning is, and I need to prepare for my future, you know, and whatever. But eventually, there was no rest in my spirit. So eventually, I had to, I fellowshiped with some brothers, prayed more, and I just called them up. You know, I appreciate the offer, but sorry, I had to decline. You haven't even started yet, you know. But you know what? The moment I hung up that phone, actually my mom was a little bit upset, you know. You better make sure you really have the Lord's leading here. You know? But I knew inwardly, the moment I hung up that phone, did I throw away lifetime of opportunity of a lifetime, whatever, but the peace came back. So the point is, we have to struggle. Things are not quite so obvious. There's things very, you know, the verse there in Hebrews, it says that the spirit is inside the soul, encased, just like the bone or the marrow is inside the bone. Okay? Now, I don't know how many of you have eaten the bone marrow, the marrow. How do you get to the marrow? You have to break the bone. You have to break through to get in. So that's why we have the next point here. Let's all read 4. Amen. You know, let me get to some verses here in Matthew. So I just want to impress you that this is not, you know, something that may be so obvious. You know, obvious, you go to the bars, that's obviously wrong. But when we talk about the soul versus the spirit, it may not be so obvious. You know, here in Matthew 16, the Lord Jesus was revealed to Peter. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So good, right? And the Lord was said, blessed are you, Peter, right? So on and so forth. And he reveals to them the church. And then the Lord says he began to open to them about his needing to be crucified. He will be rejected. He will be crucified and be put to death. And, you know, here's Peter. He says, and Peter, verse 22, 16:22, Matthew, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God be merciful to you, Lord. This shall by no means happen to you. Was he going out to get drunk? Was he, you know? No, this was his love for the Lord Jesus. God be merciful to you. You won't be rejected. You won't be tortured. Don't stop talking like that, Lord. Don't do that. You know, this is the soul. When the Lord began to talk about being terminated, being crucified, the reaction came out from the soul. Don't do that. God be merciful to you. You see my point? So it's actually out of his good heart to tell the Lord that. However, you know what the Lord says? Verse 23. But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." That opinion that came out of your mouth, that is Satan. Whoa. Many times do we have a consideration, we were so quick to give our opinion from our mind, from our emotion, from our natural being. Do we have a realization the source of that, if it's not the Spirit, is from Satan himself? Right? So praise the Lord for the Word of God, right? And praise the Lord for the ministry that opens the Word of God to unveil to us. Don't be so confident in yourself, right? Don't be so quick to assume that you are following the Spirit, right? We need to open to the Lord. And the thought here is that eventually the Lord continues. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wants to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his soul life shall lose it, but whoever loses his soul life for my sake shall find it." So, in general, when we consider ourselves, the reaction should be, just deny it. An opinion comes up. The first exercise should be, don't be so confident. Deny it and seek the Lord. Okay? Praise the Lord. Okay, what about, let's read A.
The soul is the self, and the self is the very center of the human being. Hence, the self must be crossed out.
You know, here at Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. That's a fact, right? You know what crucifixion is for? Many times we think, oh, to be crucified. What a torture. What suffering. Actually, crucifixion is not for torture. Crucifixion is for termination. Crucifixion is capital punishment. That means the correctional institutes, they don't know how to correct you anymore. You are incorrigible. So the only solution is to terminate you, because you are of no more use to society. That's what capital punishment is. So for the Lord to deem that you need to be crucified with him means his estimation of you is you are good for nothing but to be terminated. And not just you, me too. Right? So don't be so confident, I'm this, I'm that. No, you are crucified. In God's estimation, you are good for nothing but to die and to be buried. That's why we get saved, and that's why we get baptized. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. However, every day, we need to have a practice. Deny yourself and turn to the Spirit. Okay? B. Let's all read it together. And God is very good at being God to make sure he arranges all kinds of situations so that yourself will be terminated. You know, I appreciate that brother shared yesterday that he has a roommate. I have a roommate too. Praise the Lord. Lovely roommate. You know, actually the night before I came here, you know, I think, oh, I need some rest and, you know, we're in bed, and she said, "You know, Jefferson, I really don't like this about you." and I really hate that it's beginning to pass on to our kids. And they're becoming more like you in this aspect. And I really don't like that. Praise the Lord for my roommate. Amen. You know, most sisters, maybe they're not that bold, but you know, and the self in me wanted to just say, "Well, what about you?" But you know what the Spirit was saying? Shut up. So I came here 2 days into this, considering, praying. Eventually, I texted my wife. "Honey, thank you for your honest and penetrating word. This is the Lord's direct speaking. I love you. You know, the Lord is very good. We'll be married 12 years this year. And, you know, I don't know, 3 years ago I could have been able to take that. But you know what? The Lord is very good. You know, when you see who you are and how God's estimation of it, you say, oh yeah, bring it on. You know, we are nothing. But when we turn to the Spirit, then we can live Christ. Then we can be bright and clean. Okay? What about four? And I need to finish up here. Sorry. We need to discern the Spirit from the soul to abide in the Lord. Okay? And maybe for the sake of time, let's go to C. Okay? Okay, let's read just that first to the first comma.
Always practice to fellowship with him.
Okay, brothers.
Always practice to fellowship with him.
Sisters.
Always practice to fellowship with him.
Since we're all in this condition, what should we do? Always practice to fellowship with him. Right? We need the Word of God to be the sword. It helps us. Because without the Word of God, we just live who we are, and there's nothing to contrast it. So we need God's Word, and we need to pray over God's Word. But when you realize who we are, we need to deny ourselves. So that's the negative side. What's the positive side? Always practice to fellowship with the Lord. You know, my dad went to be with the Lord in 2000. And I really appreciate his almost last word to me. He said, Jefferson, two things. Whatever you do, never leave the church. And in the second word, whatever decision you make, always talk to the Lord first. I really treasure that word. Whatever we do, fellowship with the Lord. And in our fellowship with the Lord, I just learned something very practical. Be genuine. You know, many times you know you're about to make a decision. You know your motives. You know why you want to do these things. Guess what? Just tell to the Lord. Lord, I want to do this because this is because of this and because of that. Right? The more you're honest with the Lord and open to the Lord and fellowship with the Lord, eventually you see the Lord will have a way to touch your heart and to gain your inner being. So praise the Lord. We need to learn to discern the soul from the spirit from the soul. Only then, this is a very deep exercise of our spirit. But if we will never really know what the spirit is until we see first what is the soul, and we have an exercise of denying the soul. So may the Lord have mercy. We can all practice this day by day.